I'm very happy now to welcome Jake Barrow. He is Program Director of Cornerstone's Community Partnership, and Marcia Sullivan, who is the president of St. Michael's High School, which is partnering with Cornerstones in the San Miguel Preservation Project. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is a very highly visible Adobe and Santa Fe historical preservation, architectural preservation project. Tell us about it.
Well, as you know, the San Miguel Church is very old. That church dates to 1710, and there were several churches predating that.
It's the so-called oldest church, right?
It's the so-called oldest church. We know there was a church there by 1628, and probably some years before that, and maybe even started as early as 1609 or 1610. Two times in the 17th century the church came down, one time in a conflict between the ruling group and the Franciscans in a conflict that they had. And then later in the Pueblo Revolt, the church was destroyed, partly destroyed. In 1710, it was reconstructed, and that's more or less the church that we have today, although throughout the centuries there have been some modifications to the bell tower and the apse of the church, and some additions were added onto the church.
Right, as there are any kind of building, but it's basically a continuity since 1710.
Exactly. And also, as you know, Santa Fe is an adobe city. Up until the 20th century, it was entirely adobe. Maybe a smattering of stone and wood buildings in there. And so this church is a part of that history, and it's part of the Analco National Landmark District, which is the little neighborhood which the church sits in. All of which were vernacular adobe homes, maintained in the traditional methods for hundreds of years. And in the 20th century, things began to change in Santa Fe. The city took on a new appearance. New materials began to be used in construction. Some of the traditional methods gave way to new methods, and that's kind of where we are today. And St. Michael's High School came to Cornerstones a few years ago to begin partnering on a preservation project for the church, and that's how we got started.
Now, has the church been used as a church all this time?
Yes, it has. It was up until the 1850s, it was part of the diocese and used as a parish church for that neighborhood. And maybe Marcy can speak to this. St. Michael's High School got started in the 1850s, and I might let her tell that story.
Thanks, Jake. In 1859, Bishop Lemie requested that the De La Salle Christian Brothers come to Santa Fe to start a school for boys. So it was around that time that the brothers came, established a high school for boys. It was called St. Michael's College, and that was their chapel. And they began, they said their daily prayers, had religious studies there, and so that is when San Miguel Chapel became part of St. Michael's College, which is still our legal name, but evolved then into St. Michael's High School. And up until the 1960s, I think 1967, 68, it was both a residential program there and school for men, and then the new school was built on Seringo Road, and that's when the high school moved over to Seringo, but the church has remained part of the St. Michael's High School community since that time.
Do churches have to conform to building codes and all the kinds of regulations that everybody else does? In other words, when you have this ancient church that was built before the building codes were even invented, what happens?
Oh, absolutely. There's no... It's treated just as another building in Santa Fe as far as buildings codes are concerned, and so when we embarked on our project, we had several hoops to jump through in that regard. And since it's a part of the National Landmark District, the Analco District, it meant that we needed to consult with the State Historic Preservation Office, the New Mexico State Historic Preservation Officer, in terms of complying with what's called Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966, which is basically if you're intending to change those qualities of the building that have given it its legitimate right to be a part of that National Register, then there could be some issues, and the state might not approve it. So it was very important for us to go to them and get approval, as well as going to the Historic Design Review Board of Santa Fe to get their approval for the work that we wanted to do. We're not really, early on, we decided with the school that we weren't really intending to change anything about the church per se, in the architecture or the configuration. We did recognize that the stucco had failed, and that's one of the primary problems that needed to be addressed. And so we are removing the stucco, and a decision was made to replace a traditional finish on the building, an earthen plaster. And so the appearance changes slightly, because instead of having a stucco, there's a slightly different color to the surface. But essentially, we're not changing anything. And so we went through all that, as well as we had to go and get construction permits from the city. And in addition, we consulted with the tribal we consulted with tribes who are affiliated with the city of Santa Fe in one way or another, which meant sending out letters to them about what we're going to do. And several tribes wrote back their interests and concern.
What were some of their interests and concerns?
Well, they didn't have any serious concerns. They just wanted to be informed. They wanted to know, you know, what tribes are interested in is if there are pre-Columbian burials on site. And that's one of the issues that we have. We have a drainage project. We have to excavate in the churchyard. It's very likely that we'll encounter human remains. So that had to be addressed very carefully, not only with the diocese, but the tribes.
Has that happened yet? Has anything been found?
Well, you know, the archaeologists are working, but it really is not, we won't know until the conclusion of that excavation as to what's there. That they also have to go through quite an extensive process to do that. And basically, through that process, the archaeologists are working inside a contained area, and it's totally off limits to the public or anybody that's not involved in the project, because should they encounter human remains, they have to be handled very carefully and in a way that's respectful to the descendants and the remains themselves. And so that process is underway, and we really won't know until the conclusion of the project what the disposition of that is.
When you say that there's a good chance that there are human remains there, why is that? I mean, were churches built usually like this one on traditional burial sites?
Well, not only that. I mean, Santa Fe is a site that was inhabited by Native Americans prior to the Spanish coming. And on a site like this, it's right up over the river on a little rise, and there have been excavations there prior that indicated the presence of Native American structures. So it's not unlikely that would be found. And prior to doing the project, we conducted a ground-penetrating radar over the terrain of the churchyard to see if we could what we would find. And sure enough, I mean, the ground-penetrating radar did indicate burials in the churchyard. Fortunately, the area in which we're excavating did not indicate coffins or anything like that. So it's pretty complex, and in a situation like this, it's hundreds and hundreds of years of church. Certainly all the churches use the area around the church, and sometimes inside the church, for burials. That's just the tradition. So in the time period in which it was a church, there's likely to be many, many burials there. And also the other thing that happened is over the centuries, these things get... The ground gets disturbed a lot. There was previous drains were there. Digging happens. And the coffins are not well... There's not a map of where all these coffins are or these burials. And so sometimes burials are done with coffins. Sometimes they're done in a primitive fashion. It's not unlikely that there's going to be portions of human bodies, bones that could be found, and this has to be dealt with very carefully.
Right.
So we just don't know, and we have to. It all just has to be done by a professional archaeologist, and they're out there working.
So what is the process like of actually doing this renovation? You're out there every day in the hot sun, taking stuff down, putting stuff up. I mean, what's it actually like?
Well, what happened in this case was a couple of years ago when St. Mike's came to Cornerstones, the first step was to do an assessment of the building. And we were able to get a grant for that, and a very thorough assessment was done to sort of find out what are the conditions, where are the problem areas, what has to be addressed here. And it was in the course of that we found that there were some major drainage problems, that some of the walls were retaining moisture, probably as a result of this, that the stucco was at the end of its life. That stucco was basically put on in 1955, so it's had cracks all over, been repaired many times. And there were some probable problems with some roof connections, the way some of the roofs were built in the late 19th century. Likely there was some rot in the wood, you know. So the process, that was all determined. And then we had to develop a work plan. And then seeking funding to do the project was a big part of the preliminary process. And we were successful in getting 4 grants to date. So that got the project underway. And, of course, we were working with St. Mike's very closely in the planning process as we got this going. And then, in addition, we decided to try to partner with some other groups. We set up a partnership with YouthWorks in Santa Fe to provide some youth training opportunities and the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation for the state to see about bringing at-risk youth or youth that, in this case, many of these youth are working on their GEDs. You know, they're not kids that can typically sit in a classroom. So we thought, you know, we're doing some hard Adobe-type work. Get those youth out there to give them an experience and an opportunity. And then we also embarked on a active volunteer program to put the word out for anyone in the community who wanted to come and volunteer.
And you're still looking for people.
We're still looking for people. And one of the ideas that we have about this is that this church, it's not just a simple project of preserving a church for the church, for St. Mike's. I mean, it's a larger goal of community and the role that St. Mike's has had, the history of Santa Fe. And
well, how will the San Miguel Church, or chapel, as it's, I guess it's called, be used when this whole renovation is over?
Well, it's still being used. The great thing about the way Jake and Cornerstones has approached this is to make sure that it's still open every day for visiting tourists, for parishioners who like to come. There are still 2 masses each Sunday, a Latin mass at 2 and an English mass at 5. So despite the fact that it's getting a pretty major facelift, it's open every day. In terms of St. Mike's High School, one of the great things about San Miguel Church is it is really a physical manifestation of what the school is going through. Jake said something earlier in the interview that I really liked. He said the adobe construction uses traditional materials, but years later we've moved to more contemporary methods. That's the same thing with our school. And I just find it interesting that there's this parallel trajectory between what the church is going through, the church where St. Michael's High School was founded, and what the school today is going through. So it's a really important part of our history, but it's a really important part of our future, and getting our kids involved, having them understand what this means in the history of the school. We hope that over the next 3 summers, which this project will take the next 3 summers to complete, we will build on the participation of our teachers and the history department and the students who may be interested in this kind of community service.
Now, is St. Michael's High School a religious school with religious education, and people are expected to be practicing Catholics?
It is a Catholic school based on the LaSallian tradition of education. The LaSallian Christian Brothers are a teaching order, and they are sanctioned by the Catholic Church here. We are in partnership with the Archdiocese. Our students are about 70% Catholic. We have non-Catholics who attend St. Michael's as well. But we are a religious school that opens with prayer every day. We have Mass at least once a month. We celebrate all of the Catholic feast days and holidays, etc. But you don't have to be Catholic to go to St. Michael's.
Now, Jake Barrow, tell us the question which you definitely avoided, what it's like to be out in the hot sun every day doing this adobe.
I wasn't avoiding it. I just wanted to give the background for it. I think that brings to mind about the volunteers that come to work with us, because it's actually sometimes it's pretty hard work. We're crushing up clay that's like rocks. We're sifting it through a screen. We're doing a mixer. We're pushing wheelbarrows that are heavy. We're making adobes. They weigh 30 pounds plus a piece. We're taking stucco off the building and piece by piece taking it down off the scaffold, piling it up, shoveling it into a trailer, taking it to the dump. I mean, there's a lot of this pretty hard work. What's interesting is that the youth and the volunteers that have come out have really really enjoyed it. And it's hot out there. We make sure we have plenty of water and we take breaks when we need them. But it's been really interesting to see. We've had a very diverse group of volunteers, from a philosophy professor down to people who are on parole and putting in their community service, to people who are trying to get their GED, to Harvard graduate students, and all and Santa Fe local people who just are interested to come out. St. Mike's kids, the football team was out there three times in succession. And so you mix all these people up and you think, how's this going to work? I mean, these people can't communicate. But actually, it's surprising how well it works. It's really surprising to me. And then the other part of that is that every day we get a lot of visitors. And sometimes they're tourists, and sometimes they're local people who are walking up who graduated from the school in 1938 or 1940 or 1960 or something, and they want to find out what's happening. And so we talk to them. Cornerstones is about heritage and community. And when you think about historic preservation, a lot of times people think that, you're just going to restore the building back to the way it was or something like that, and after the work is done, you take a picture and it's all over with. But our point of view is that the validity of historic preservation really is about the people who are using the building. It's not just about the building. And in fact, we believe for historic preservation to be valid, you can't have one without the other. And so,
Jake Barrow is Program Director of Cornerstones Community Partnership. Marcia Sullivan is President of St. Michael's High School. We've been talking about the San Miguel Chapel Preservation Project. If people want to call and volunteer, how can they do so? How can they reach Cornerstones?
Well, that's great. We're really open to that, and they call our office at 982-9521. Right here in Santa Fe, and speak to Gene Boley, who keeps a kind of a list for us, and we're tracking that, because if we were to just say, just show up, we one day we might have 75 people or something, and it would be totally unmanageable, and I'd hate somebody to come out. So far, we haven't turned anybody away, but we do try to steer them to a day, and some days are more appropriate than other days, because sometimes we're doing things where we need a lot of help, and sometimes it's very specific.
And Cornerstones can also be found on the web at cstones.org. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Great. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.